Today, we want to look at a subject that I don't always talk about, but the subject is that God values life. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, we read, God spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah thought, who am I that you're choosing me? Jeremiah said, I'm not that talented. I'm not that gifted. I'm too young. He said, I'm too young. And the Lord reminded him and said this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Every time a baby is born, I pray that God would use that child one day to be a man or woman of God. Whether it's a pastoral ministry or it's a teaching ministry or it's a witnessing ministry or missionary, God has a will for every person. Today is International Sanctity of Life Sunday. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, let me explain a few things here. On September 11th, 2001, it is said that over 4,000, or around 4,000 people were killed. It is said that those were some of the future leaders of nations, doctors who could have saved many, maybe even scientists who may have found a cure for cancer, or evangelists that could have led many to Christ. Evildoers killed over 4,000 people on that one day. And everybody is, remembers that very clearly. We could never forget that. And they even have these slogans, we will never forget. But the truth is that most people don't realize that not only on September 11, 2001, but on September 12th, on September 13th, on September 14th, and every day since then, 4,000 babies, unborn babies, have been killed every single day. Almost 1.5 million babies get aborted every year. And it seems like that society is not angry about that. It seems like every time you hear the word abortion, you think of a political term. It's a political term, political wrangling about it and all of that. Loved ones, abortion is not a political issue. It has been made into one, but abortion is a moral, a spiritual issue. People are not weeping, they're not angry about it because they got used to it. Well, it's the right of a woman. If she doesn't want a baby, she can just get rid of it. We live in a time, a society, when human life has little value in our communities. And the lack of value for life today is the result of godlessness. For over 100 years in our colleges and even in our high schools, the students have been taught that human beings are nothing more than a highly organized, animated slime. In other words, secular science, secular society teaches our children and young people that life is nothing but a cosmic accident. Nothing more than time plus chance and plus matter. One of the recent stories that came out to be quite outrageous was a few years ago when, in a Greyhound bus west of Winnipeg, a young man was decapitated by a murderer. And of course, everybody says, well, a normal person would not do that. That person must be sick, that they would actually cut someone's head off. And yes, that is true. But what really appalled me was that when the news came of what they were going to do with the murderer, they were going to treat him and then release him and then make sure that he had no criminal record on his name. And I was like, what? Not even a criminal record on his name? And they tell him to go and just take your pills. Make sure you take your pills so you don't cut somebody else's head off. Isn't that devaluing life? What about the victims? What about the family that was grieving and such? Can you imagine your son or daughter being murdered so brutally by somebody? Today, humans are targeted for destruction. Just listen to some of the statistics I was able to find. The Endangered Species Act protects 3 amphibians, 56 birds, 7 clams, 29 fish, 8 mammals, 21 reptiles, 2 snails, and 42 plants. And their unborn offspring are also protected. But an unborn human baby is not protected because it's not on the endangered species list. This is how the world, our society, treats and wants us to believe. Years ago, I read a story of a baby seal that was nurtured to health. They had found it and it has struggled to develop, and they had spent $1 million to nurture a baby seal back to health. And so the workers that had cared for the baby seal, they had kind of a ceremonial act of releasing it into the sea again. It was supposed to be released to the wild. They had trained it so it could fetch its own food and the like. And here they release this baby seal, this $1 million baby seal that has grown bigger. And they watch it swim off, and all of a sudden they see a big shark coming in, just snatching it and having a good dinner. Endangered species. A Florida man was arrested for stealing turtle eggs from the beach. He defended himself by saying that the eggs were not yet life. But that wasn't good enough. He was convicted and fined. To the law, a turtle egg is alive, but an unborn baby is not alive. That's just a clump of cells. Here are some of the most outrageous fines, at least in America, that were levied by the courts. $4,000 fine for killing cats. $1,360 and 60 days in jail for torturing and killing rabbits. $10,000 for killing a tree. But no fines for killing a baby, even partially born babies, no fine. Because we have rights. This is the society we live in. This is how society devalues human life. You see, people killing their children is actually nothing new. In the Old Testament, we read that people kill their children for various reasons. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, and God wanted to make sure that Israel was different than the pagan nations. Because the pagan nations had rituals, they had their religions, their beliefs in these idols that they worshipped. They had ceremonies where they sacrificed children. And Israel was told, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, For you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. Because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. God strictly forbid Israel to ever sacrifice a child. Because why? Everyone is precious in his sight. And it's actually amazing that people are still doing the same thing today, sacrificing their children to the gods of convenience, to the gods of financial success, to the gods of education. We know better today. We have all these methods. And I just heard this last week, that the morning after pill, an abortion pill, is now available over the counter. And people have many abortions as much as they want. And people say, well, you know, but the world is getting overpopulated. The world there are so many problems already. What are we going to do with 1.5 million people a year more? We can't handle it. The world can't handle it. It's a lie of Satan. Because God says, multiply and fill the earth. It's not the amount of people that are the problems. It's the amount of godlessness, the amount of corruption that is the problem. People believe today that by getting rid of the baby, they might somehow have some chance of a better life for themselves. But no one, even in these abortion clinics, they will not tell the mother and father of the consequences of having an abortion. The guilt and the depression that women experience are so horrendous, but they will not tell you that. You have a right. You have a right. And the more you pounce upon your right, the more you focus upon your rights, the more you will get depressed and discouraged and violate God's law. So there are really no valid reasons to devalue life. One of the questions raised today is, what if the baby is born into a very horrific family situation? Wouldn't it be better for the child to be dead? Or just kind of like a mercy killing of sorts? Don't come into this world like that. It's a responsibility of citizens, of good citizens, of good people to see and to help protect children because they are precious in God's sight. No matter who it is, no matter what race, what color, what language, they are all precious in God's sight. I have two personal stories that I would like to share about the abortion issue. And I don't want to blame the government or anything. It's their way of handling things, and people demand things, and it's not to blame the government or anything. Abortion is a personal decision. There was one couple, they had two beautiful girls a long time ago in Texas when we were living and ministering there. And because they were uneducated, because they were frustrated and naive, I would say. They came to me one day and said, Pastor Caleb, we'd like to talk to you. I said, okay, what is your request? What would you like me to pray for? And they said, well, we have two girls, and we just found out that, the father was saying this, we just found out that my wife is pregnant again, and we don't want another baby. We thought this was going to be it, and we don't want another baby. And so we found out that there is a clinic in New Mexico, and we'd like to go there next week and take care of it and not have any more children. And I said, but Ben, my dear friend Ben, do you know what you're about to do? And so I took the Bible, we sat down, and I took the Bible and I showed them some scripture verses. until tears was running down their cheeks. And they started to love that child that was unborn. And they said, Pastor, we know why we had to come to you. You have helped us and prevented us from doing something evil. Another instance was a 17-year-old girl in high school in Odessa, Texas. We had gotten to know the family. We tried to get them into church, and there were a lot of family problems. There were marriage problems there with the parents. And this girl, she was a beautiful teenager, and she became a cheerleader for her school. And now she had a boyfriend, and she got pregnant. Her life was shattered. She felt like her life had come to a sudden stop. This was not planned. And so we prayed for her, and one day the father calls me on the phone and says, Pastor Gaylor, can you come over? Our daughter is about to have an abortion, and we feel really bad about it. We don't think that's right. I said, you bet it's not right. So I came over, and parents greeted me. I said, where is Ashley? They said, she is lying in bed, curled up. She doesn't want to speak to anybody. Her aunt had talked her into having an abortion. Her aunt had offered to pay for it. $300. So easy, right? Get rid of it. And move on with your life. Keep being a cheerleader. Act as if nothing happened. And they say it's a form of birth control. I said to the parents, I said, come with me. I'm not going to talk to Ashley. I'm just going to pray for her. And the parents came with me, and we stood around the bed. I laid her hand on her shoulder. She was laying on her left side, and laid my hand on her shoulder, and the Holy Spirit just took over. I mean, it was like the presence of God filling that room. And we prayed. And after we prayed, Ashley got up. She smiled. She hugged her parents. And she hugged me and said, I'm keeping the baby. I'm not going to have the abortion. That girl is turning 13 this year. A beautiful young lady. Almost lost. God views life precious. I read about a man named James Robertson. Many of us may have not read about him yet. I hope you do one day. He is an evangelist and a missionary. And he has led many to Christ. Has done great missionary work in Africa. But you know how his life started? His mother was raped. And he was a result of rape. But she decided not to abort him. What men intend for evil, God uses and wants to use for good. And what our society needs to know is that it is not the child's fault. It is the sinful actions of the adults. But God can turn something that men meant for evil or for selfish reasons into something good. We are created uniquely in the image of God. Humanity is distinct from all created life on this earth. We are made in God's image, we heard before. We have an intellect. We have sensibility. We have complex emotions of love, hate, and anger, joy, compassion. We have a will. When God fashions our will and we submit our will to Him, then He can use us. So any sin against human life is a sin against God Himself. This is how God treats it. Let me go to the text briefly here again, where we read from Jeremiah, "Before I formed you," God says, "in the womb, I knew you." Form, to be formed in the Hebrew language, is yatsar. Yatsar is the word that is used by potters when they mold and shape a clay into a particular unique shape. It's like when they pour it into the mold. You see, when you and I were created, God poured us into a mold uniquely. And after we were created, He destroyed that mold because there's no one like you and me in this entire world exactly the same. That is the uniqueness. So God's word here in Jeremiah is telling us that before God formed us, He shaped us, He brought us into existence, He knew us. And listen to this meaning of the Hebrew word, know, to know. Is yada. Have you ever heard someone saying yada yada? It means personal commitment and intimate experience with the person known. When we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, that Adam knew Eve, it meant that Adam and Eve experienced the ultimate intimacy between a husband and wife. And this is what God used in Jeremiah. Before I formed you, before you were born, I, yada you, I knew you intimately. I know everything about you, God says, before you were born. And this is why we believe, as believers, as Christians, that at the moment of conception, the life is there. And just because people call it cells, it is a human form. All it needs to do is grow. They say when abortions happen that children, they are afraid. They try to escape it. They're very afraid. And yet it is forced upon them. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You weaved me in the womb. You made this beautiful, beautiful creation in the womb of my mother." You did it, he acknowledged. "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they're all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." You see, God knit us together. He put our bodies, our cells together. He is the one that opens and closes the womb. He is the one that is the Lord of life and death. Look at verse 14. He says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And loved ones, this also gives us self-confidence and helps us with our self-esteem, that we are precious in God's sight. Whether old or young, we are all precious in His sight. And we shouldn't put ourselves down. And this should help us also when we have days of depression, days of discouragement. We should say, "Lord, I know I was known by you. Everything about me is known to you. And I'm not giving up in my faith. I know I am precious in your sight, even though I may not like my situation. But yet, I know you love me and you are my God." You see, God knows our past, our present, and our future. He knows everything about us. Nothing escapes his attention. One thing that God values maybe more than life is the life itself in Jesus Christ. Because without the new life in Christ, the Bible says we will perish. And this is a call to all those that have given up or may never have made a commitment to the Lord before, may never have given their lives that God has given them, never have recognized how wonderfully they are made, how great, how precious they are in God's sight, that they would come to Christ and receive that new eternal life that they would live for all eternity. That's God's will. See, God has placed us in this world for a purpose. And the biggest person is to love him back. To acknowledge that he knows everything about us, that he created us. And to say, thank you, Lord. I will praise you. I will accept your gift of salvation for me. And I will live for you for the rest of my life, that you be glorified. And that's my prayer for myself, for all of us. And let me encourage you today to see the precious gift of life today, to appreciate it, to embrace eternal life, to live out the love of God, and to be a blessing to others. God help us. Amen.